Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Quick note on the audio for today's show. Tarik is in Tampa Bay, as you would expect, for Game 7. But that means, because he was there so quickly, that we had to do this podcast over the phone with one another. It was the only way we could get it done in time, but we knew we had to get one prior to Game 7 for you guys to listen to. So that is why the audio is not up to the usual standards that we strive for on this show. We hope you can forgive us this once, but it's a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final, so we knew it was important to get it to you. On to the show.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another edition of the Capitals Face Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he is the Capitals insider. He's the Anakin Skywalker to my Darth Vader. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Okay. That was better than most.
That was terrible.
And, of course, that sound you hear, if Tarik is Anakin Skywalker, then he must be our Jar Jar Binks. He is the cameraman extraordinaire, Mike D. Mike?
Jar Jar Binks, man, you got to get a better reference, bud. I mean, if I were going to be a Star Wars character, I want to be Bubba Fett. I'd like an intergalactic bounty hunter.
Everyone would like to be Bubba Fett.
I can beat Chewbacca. I don't have any clam worked up.
I guess that was a good attempt. And yes, Tarik, everyone would like to be Boba Fett, but you don't get to be Boba Fett. You have to earn Boba Fett. Anyway, people aren't here to talk about Star Wars, surprisingly. What we are here to talk about, we're going to talk about how the Caps managed to force a Game 7, and we will look ahead to Wednesday's Do or Die Game 7 in Tampa Bay, where both Tarik and Mike D are right now getting ready for the game.
Well, guys, technically, we're in Clearwater Beach. We're in Clearwater Beach, JJ. We're headed to Tampa right now. The hotel is on the beach. Very nice. Thank you, NBC. And now we're headed back to the team hotel where we're going to do some interviews.
Well, there you go. Guys, the Caps lost their third straight to the Lightning in Game 5. Then they came home and played perhaps their best game of the series and maybe even of the season in Game 6.
Of their lives.
Perhaps of their lives. What was the difference between the game 3, 4, and 5 Caps and the Game 6 Caps?
Well, JJ, in my opinion, the Capitals just turned their intensity notch to an 11 out of 10. You know, where that little knob stopped, they somehow managed to turn it like an extra notch, because that was the hardest I have seen this team play in the Alex Ovechkin era. And I know, of course, there's the recency bias, and I am pretty bad when it comes to that. But I'll tell you, they outhit the Lightning 39-19, and they might have missed some hits because Alex Ovechkin was trying to kill somebody last night. Brooks Orpik had a couple of attempted murders. I mean, that was big boy hockey last night from the opening faceoff. Some of Dan Girardi laid out Alex Ovechkin. There was hitting going on both sides, but the Capitals had the lion's share of the hits. They steadily pushed the Lightning out of the game. They bullied the Lightning, in my opinion, and they played like a team that was facing elimination. And the Lightning, I thought, played like a team that knew in the back of its head, we have another game.
And the Lightning were trying to take each other out. Remember Stamkos on JT Miller? Yeah, they're just taking each other out.
Right.
So they really didn't want it. Let's see what they want in Game 7.
So So, Tarek, you referenced it before.
So many regret putting you on this, Mike.
Tarek, you referenced it before, but where does Game 6 rank in terms of games that, either of you have seen? Was it really one of the all-time greats?
Well, I mean, there's always a Game 7, a Sergey Fedorov one. That will always be one of my favorites, the Rangers. I can honestly tell you that I think all seven games, except for game of the first six games of the 2009 semifinal against the Penguins, Eastern semifinal, that was probably my favorite series at this point. You know, the dueling hat tricks, Dave Steckel scoring, well, the Game 6 to force it back to Game 7 in overtime. All the stuff that was happening in that year. That still will always be start to finish my favorite series. Sucked the way it ended for the Capitals, but that was the most fun. It just seemed like every single night it was like, oh my God, did that just happen? But I would put this one way up there. I put it in top five that I've seen in my lifetime. And I know there were some back in the 80s and early 90s that, you know, I was probably a little too young to really remember. I might have watched a bit of them on television, but I mean, this has got to be a top fiver. I mean, it was an incredible, comprehensive, thorough, start to finish domination. I mean, they dominated physically. They won all the 50-50 battles. They controlled the game territorially. The Capitals goaltender was better. It just was a masterful performance by the Caps. Now, it doesn't matter. No one's going to remember this game if they go and they lay an egg or don't get past the Lightning in Game 7. So that's the challenge.
Sure. Mike, you've been doing this a long time. Where does this game rank for you?
I think I'm with Tarek. I mean, it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot unless they do something in Game 7. I mean, it was a great game. It's probably one of their best performances of this season. But where it ranks all time in history depends on what they do on Wednesday night in Tampa.
Sure, that's a good point. I think that this game is handicapped by the fact that it did not end the series. So for me, it was a great game. I loved watching it. I think you guys are right. How we view this game will depend a lot on what happens in Game 7. I think we may be sleeping a little bit on Game 6 against Pittsburgh in the last round, a game where the Caps didn't have Tom Wilson or Nicholas Backstrom or Andre Burakovsky, and they went on the road in Pittsburgh and ended the reign of the two-time Stanley Cup champions and finally got past the hump and their arch nemesis. So for me, that game still ranks over what we saw on Monday for me.
Okay. I think I put them on equal footing. I'd say they were relatively comparable. I mean, but yeah, slaying the Dragon, getting back to England, that was huge. But I just think that anything that happens in subsequent rounds is bigger simply because it's in subsequent rounds.
Sure. Hey, that's a good point, too. That was for to advance past the second round, and now we're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. So that's a good point, too.
Points to the
game. But, we limit Tar, of course, to one good point per segment. So we are now going to hear a word from our sponsor and take a quick commercial break. Welcome back. A dominant performance in Game 6, but how do the Caps keep it going? Guys, I want to hear your answer, but before you answer, there are two caveats. First, I don't want to hear either of you say, do what they did in Game 6. We know that. The thing is, so does Tampa Bay. They're going to adjust. They have coaches. They're going to watch that game. They're going to adjust their game plan. They will have the crowd on their side. They will get the matchups they want and the last change. So Game 7 is going to be, by its nature, different from Game 6. And second, do not give your predictions yet. That is what the third block is for. So having said that, how do the Caps win Game 7?
Yeah, giving us directions. We don't take directions. We are the men.
Okay, number one, that was the best game I've seen Brady Nolte play since 2016. We need more of that Brady Nolte. That was his first shutout of the entire year. That's kind of an obvious one, but he's been outdued the previous three games by Andre Vasilevsky. He's got to at least be as good, if not better, in Game 7 than his counterpart in the Lightning game. Number two, the Caps got to stay disciplined. I think that is a huge, huge thing for them tomorrow. They took one penalty in Game 5. They took pairs, although one was a matching, so they were shorthanded twice in game six. And that's the way you beat the Lightning's power play. You don't give them any power plays. And we saw what the Lightning power play did in those first four games. It lit the apples up. You know, they were able to get those two wins to start the series, but that was despite the Lightning's power play doing very well. So, fighting a cold here, even though they think about 3 out play. So, I would say number one, goaltending. Number two, discipline. You can't say discipline. And for me, number three, they got to bring the intensity that they had in game six. The physicality. If you're the Capitals, you got to approach this game as, look, the Stanley Cup final begins on Monday. That gives me a full Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to rest up, recover. I gotta leave it all out there. This is it. This is it. This is your chance to, quiet all the naysayers. You're Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and Gabe Beagle, and Braden Holtby, all those guys who've been around for a long time. Here's your chance. You've got to go out there and just give it every single ounce of your being to find a way to beat the Lightning.
I'm with Tarek with the intensity thing, but I also think that you have to recognize that you're in a game seven. You have to understand that this is your moment, and it's going to take that little bit of extra effort on a shift. You're going to have to go a little bit harder. You're going to have to be a little bit smarter with your stick. Those are the things that you're going to have to do to raise your game to another level in a game seven. I also think that the Caps offense was a little on the perimeter in game six, and they probably didn't generate enough offense. So for me, it's move Andre Vasilevsky. Get this big loot moving and open him up. When he's able to move and get square to a shot, you're going to hit him. So if you get him moving, open up some holes, you can get pucks through him like the
ESP.
The loot. I had a worse word, but I didn't want to use it on podcast. So get him moving, open him up, create holes in his stance. Like Pelly's shot got through him. You need to open him up, create openings on him by moving the puck east-west and getting him opening up.
Good points by you guys. For me, I assume because the Capitals really stunned Tampa with how physical they were in Game 6, I expect them to come out just as physical in Game 7, but they have to be smart about it. They can't be reckless about it, or they're going to end up in the penalty box. And as you mentioned, Tarek, that's going to kill them. The refs are going to, I'm sure Tampa Bay, John Cooper is going to be in the ears of the refs saying, hey, watch out for those liberties that they take with those hits, and they're going to be watching. If they want to be physical, that's fine. They should, because it definitely worked. You saw how well it worked in Game 6. They have to be careful with it so that they don't end up in the box.
Here's what's great about Game 6 is that they were disciplined with their hitting. They were clean hits. You didn't see anything dirty. They laid the body to them hard. They got some good referees that kind of pocketed their whistles in Game 6, and there wasn't a whole lot of calls.
Yeah.
So I think that could happen again.
You'd like to think that the referees are going to pocket the whistles for Game 7, but you don't know. You're going to have to gauge what those referees are calling and looking for that game and adjust to that. If they're going to be strict about it, the Cavs are going to have to adjust their game plan because they're going to end up in the box too many times. Also, I think the first goal is going to be critical in this one, especially for the Capitals. Because the Capitals have been better in this series when playing ahead. Their game plan is just better suited for not chasing the game. They don't have the same kind of depth that Tampa Bay has. So the first goal is going to be critical. And even if they don't get the first goal, they have to keep Tampa Bay at least in reach. Tampa Bay jumps out to a 3-0 lead. And when the Capitals finally woke up in game five, it was too late. They crawled back and made it 3-2. They made it respectable. But a 3-0 lead was too much to come back from. They cannot allow Tampa Bay to start jumping all over them, get the early lead, get the crowd on their side, and build that lead because they're going to leave the Capitals in the dust at that point. And then goaltending. Braden Holtby has to be better than Andre Vasilevsky. He just does. If you look at these two rosters, Tampa Bay has more depth on offense. They have more depth on defense. And I know it's been exposed at times by the Caps offense, but on paper, they're better on offense than defense. You cannot allow them to get the advantage goaltending as well. Vasilevsky really was the story of the first five games of the series because he was so poor in game one and two, and then he was lights out in the last three games, and then Holtby finally outplayed him in game six and helped the Caps steal away that one and force a game seven. So Holtby has to be better than Vasilevsky for the Capitals to win this game seven and move on to the Stanley Cup final. Anything else you guys want to throw in there?
Yeah, I want to add one thing. The Lightning is also really, really good when they score that first goal. They're 8-1 in these playoffs when scoring the first goal. So that's another thing. They're one of the best teams at locking down opponents once they get that first goal. So Caps got to have another strong start.
Hey, the one intangible that we haven't brought up, and we've seen it over and over and over and over again in this playoff, and this is why they're different this year. Hard. Yeah, the Lightning can get up one goal or whatever early, but the Caps have proven that they can come back and they are resilient. If Tampa gets out early, I still think this is hard for me to say from a jaded Caps fan, but I think that they can come back and still win this game if they fall behind.
All right, so that is our analysis, and we're going to come back with our predictions right after a word from our sponsors. Okay, guys, it is prediction time. Will our next podcast be about the end of the Capitals season, or will we be previewing a Stanley Cup final matchup against the Vegas Golden Knights? Tell me what's going to happen in Game 7.
Tark. Well, I've already booked a non-refundable flight to Vegas for Saturday afternoon, so they sure as hell better get a win tomorrow. In all seriousness, I think the Caps have been the better team for a long stretch of the series. I think that they probably should have won already. I think they're going to find a way to dig deep, and I think Alex Ovechkin knows this is a career-defining moment for him. Nicholas Backstrom knows this is a career-defining moment for him. Braden Holtby, Barry Trotz, Don Carlson, all those guys, J.B., all those guys who've been around here for a long time, they know that people are going to remember them for what happens tomorrow night at Amalie Arena, and I think they're going to find a way to get it done. And remember, this is a Lightning team that's made a lot of trips and gone to finals. They don't have much to show for it.
I am the jaded Caps fan. I've been through this for a long time.
Don't do it, Mike.
Wait a minute. So I think we can put this label of choking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. What is funny about the fan base down here in Tampa is they are kind of agitated and seem to think that, why can't we get over the hump and reach and get to a Stanley Cup? They've been to a few Eastern Conference Finals and failed. They went to the final against the Blackhawks and failed. So we could put that doubt in the Tampa fan base and put that doubt in the Tampa Bay Lightning bench. I think the Caps can reach the Stanley Cup final. I will lose my mind if that happens.
All right. Well, everything is pointing towards the Tampa Bay win in Game 7.
What?
Everything is pointing towards the Tampa Bay win in Game 7. The Capitals' history, the fact that they battle back from the games to win Game 6 and then go on the road to Tampa Bay, the fact that they jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the series and then watched that fall away. The thing about this Capitals team this year is that they are totally unpredictable. Every time you think you've got a handle on them, it turns out to be the exact opposite. I mean, everyone thought that they were done after losing two games to the Columbus Blue Jackets. When Nicholas Backstrom went down, no one thought they were going to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh in Game 7 with no Nicholas Backstrom to advance. No one thought they would jump out to a 2-0 lead over Tampa Bay Lightning, and no one thinks they're going to win Game 7. Well, guess what? That's exactly why they are going to win Game 7, because this team is different. I called it at the beginning of the series. I said that the momentum is going to push this team into the Stanley Cup final, and I still believe that to be the case. I think they're going to find a way to get it done, and I hate being 3-for-3 on the Homer podcast where everyone's picking the home team, but I honestly believe that they're going to get it done because there's no reason to think that they will, because Tampa Bay is deeper. Tampa Bay woke up seemingly. They've won 3 of the last 4. It's in Tampa Bay. There's no reason to think that the Capitals have enough left in the tank after such a physical game. to get it done, and that's exactly why they will, because this team continues to defy expectations. So I'm calling for the Caps Game 7 win, and then on to Vegas. What do you guys think about that?
I like it. You know, typically you're the pessimist of the group. You're the Debbie Downer, the negative fan. So I'm proud of you, JJ. I'm proud of you. You actually used logic. You actually went with your mind and not your heart.
Logic?
I think I've taught you well.
Thank you, Tarek. You have no idea.
I feel like Yoda right now.
Yeah.
You have no idea what that means to me.
You know what I did? I brought the full circle back to the Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. You have no idea what that means to me because it means nothing at all. You're
proud.
So thank you for that. Anyway, and by the way, for everyone who feels bad about the introductions that Tarek has to suffer through every week, well, in game 6 in the media room, he explained to everyone who would listen that his nickname for me is Swizzle Chest because I have no definition and he considers me weak. So here we go. That is a true story.
Sorry. I borrowed Swizzle Chest from and Mike D.
I just missed our exit. Hey, way to go. Now we'll be late for the availability. You won't get to hear from Jade Eagle on time.
They are on their way to the Capitals availability before Game 7, and this podcast is headed for your ears. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. For Tarek El-Bashir, Mike D., this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the fuck out of here.